She was born in 1515 in Avila, Spain, and died in the year 1582. When she was a little girl, she took her faith literally and believed that in order to see God, well, I need to die, which in a sense is true, right? So at the age of 7, she decided with her brother to leave the walled city of Avila, and they were going to go and see if some Moors, this are the Muslim people who lived in Spain, if they might behead them. Because St. Teresa reasoned, well, if I'm beheaded and I'm dead, I will then see God. Thankfully, she and her brother did not get very far from Avila when their uncle found them, and they explained what they were going to do. He said, this is not a good idea, and took them back home. Well, as Teresa continued to grow, she became a teenager. And as teenagers are wont to do, she kind of began to notice boys, and then all of the other things that are part of the adolescent soul coming to life. At the age of 16, her mother died, and Dad thought, Teresa is a pretty strong-willed teenager. I don't know if I've got it in me to continue to try to raise her. So he had a good idea. I'll send her to the convent. And he did. And at the convent, Teresa realized something. This is actually a really social place to be, for you see that the convents in Spain in the 16th century were not centers of piety and prayer. Indeed, they were often places where men were entertained. They were places of social gathering where people would come. And Teresa loved this kind of life. In these years, although she began to cultivate a kind of prayer, it's said that in many ways, what she wanted most was to be loved, to be respected, and she was beautiful and charming. People would come so she could teach them mental prayer, but part of the reason she was teaching them mental prayer is that then these people would give gifts that would then be given to the convent. You see, Teresa, for many years, was more involved in flattery, vanity, and gossip than spiritual guidance. But then a crisis happened in her life. She contracted malaria, and she was in a coma. They actually thought she was dead, and it was customary at that time in Spain when a person was dead to put mud on their eyes. And just as they were about to put the mud on their eyes, her brother knocked over a candle that set the curtains on fire, and it stirred her. But for the next 3 years, she was paralyzed. And then for a number of years after that, she was in a kind of spiritual despair that prayer was very, very difficult for her. And it was only when she was 41 that her priest, who was her confessor, encouraged her back, or perhaps maybe for the first time, to really begin to explore the life of prayer. And listen to what the middle-aged Teresa says about this experience. I was more anxious for the hour of prayer to be over than I was to remain there. Did you hear that? This is St. Teresa of Avila. I was more anxious for the hour of prayer to be over than to remain there, she said. I don't know what heavy penance I would not have gladly undertaken rather than to practice prayer. She said, I was often distracted in prayer. This intellect, she wrote, is so wild that it doesn't seem to do anything else than be like a frantic madman that no one can tie down. A frantic madman, she says, that no one can tie down. So distracted am I in my prayer. And she sympathizes with us who struggle with prayer, who struggle with the interior life. Listen to what she wrote. All the trials we endure cannot be compared to these interior battles. Wow, isn't that true? All the trials cannot be compared to the interior battle. What a great woman she is. For you see, what happened through her life, as she continued to persevere in the life of prayer, she came to discover this profound intimacy with the Lord. She wrote again, "Mental prayer is my opinion, nothing else than an intimate sharing between friends. It means taking time frequently to be alone with Him, Him who loves us. The important thing is not to think much, but to love much, and to do that which best stirs you to love. Love is not great delight, but desire to please God in everything." Love is not great delight, it is the desire to please God in everything. But here's the remarkable thing with St. Teresa. As she desired to please God in everything, she became known as the Doctor of Ecstasy. She and St. Catherine of Siena are the first women to be declared doctors of the church, and it only happened in 1970. But in the latter part of her life, as she deepened in this life of prayer, she began to be overwhelmed in her senses with God's rapturous love. And she writes that God overcame her with glorious foolishness. "I experienced prayer of union where I felt the Son of God melt my soul away." Supposedly, sometimes her whole body was raised from the ground in levitation, that she called the other sisters to hold her down, and she begged God very much not to give her any more of these kinds of, quote, favors in public. Perhaps you've heard of St. John of the Cross. Supposedly, he and St. Teresa had experience of levitation together. What is so striking about St. Teresa is how she understood what we heard in today's readings from Holy Scripture. In that reading from Romans, where St. Paul says that we are made right with God, not primarily through our works, but through our faith. What happened in St. Teresa's life was her heart expanded so that she could receive the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. Teresa also understood what Jesus said so clearly in today's gospel about hypocrisy. And what she saw with the Carmelites of the 16th century was an order of nuns who were so worldly. So she began to reform the Carmelites. She established 17 houses throughout Spain. But for her efforts, she was suspected by the Inquisition, and she was demanded by them to write the book that we now call her autobiography, and also The Interior Castle. Not only was she aware of this hypocrisy and how it affects the church, she also had a profound experience of the reality of hell and understood what Jesus said in today's gospel when he said, "I warn you, whom to fear. Fear him who after he has killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." And this is, of course, in reference to the devil. Because that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to cast us into hell. But what does God want for us? Did you notice the striking contrast between Jesus' warning about being cast into hell and what he says next? It's almost like what we call a non sequitur. They don't seem to go together. So having just spoken about the warnings of hell, Jesus goes on to say, "Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten in God's sight. But even the hairs of your head are all counted. Do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows." So fear the devil because he wants our damnation. Do not be afraid because God longs for our salvation. And St. Teresa of Avila so clearly understood our Lord's words, but it took her a lifetime to truly put them into practice. A way to restate Jesus' words when he says, "Do not be afraid, you are of more value than many sparrows." Here's another great line from St. Teresa. "Let nothing perturb you. nothing frighten you. All things pass. God does not change. Patience achieves everything. Knowing a little bit about this woman's life, aren't those words of experience? And let me end with these words from Saint Teresa. At the end of your life, it is not the greatness of your actions that is going to be measured. At the end of your life, it is not the greatness of your actions that is going to be measured. It's the love with which you lived. And so in our collect today, we prayed, O God, who through your Spirit raised up Saint Teresa of Jesus to show the church the way to seek perfection, grant that we may always be nourished by the food of her heavenly teaching and fired with longing for true holiness. Doesn't she light a fire under your feet? Don't you want to be more holy because of Saint Teresa? I do. We do. So let us pray. Saint Teresa of Jesus, pray for us.